Shalom, my brothers. Shalom, my sisters. And shalom to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the third day of our series, The Life and Experiences of Simon Peter, who is one of Jesus' most notable apostles or disciples during his earthly ministry. Why he walked the face of this earth, and we've learned quite a lot from him, and we are praying and trusting God that the lessons learned from his life and experiences will foster commitment and love for the Lord in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. So just as we have looked into scriptures and the life of this man, we are able to see that all those encounters yielded such a wealth of experience that he couldn't have gotten from any sect like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They couldn't have such to offer him. We see that his relationship with the living Word of God for his day, I'm talking about the person of Jesus Christ, it built his stamina, his faith, leaving him dedicated, and also enhanced the love for the Master. Of a true, scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 down to 5, that our faith, when we receive this faith, it's is accompanied by patience and experience, which in turn will yield hope that will help spread the love of God in our hearts. And this was the case of Simon Peter. Through this experience, it yielded and he was convinced and then concerned and dedicated. Brother Abraham preached the message, convinced, then concerned. So today we'll look at his dedication and love for the Master. And I would like us to take our text from John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. This was after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the third time he was visiting his disciples. And verse 15 says, so when he had dined with when they had dined, Jesus said unto Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. Wow. What an experience here. Jesus, the Word of God, staring right at Peter and asking, giving him the word test. That's simple, those simple but striking questions. Do you love me, Simon, Peter? I don't know if it comes to you and I today, and we are to find Jesus just by his word this day, and he's asking you, do you love me, Joshua? We have the confidence, like Peter did, to say, Lord, you know all things. He was not being hypocritical about it. He was sincere, but he was convinced that he loved Jesus. He said, you know all things. And having known all things, you also know me, that I love you. So he knew that he loved Jesus. And he had displayed his commitment, dedication, and love for Jesus in many instances. even in the face of offenses. When others would leave, Peter was willing to be there. Even we see a man who forsook all, including family, occupation, friends, just to follow Jesus, even though he wasn't so certain of where these would lead to. He, just like Abraham, believed in hope against hope. He didn't know where he was going to. Abraham didn't know where God was taking him to. There were times where he doubted. For sure, that's true. There were times where Abraham had to say, oh, this is the only person I have left is Eliezer. What are you going to give to me? What's next for me? But even at that, God still confirmed him to be the father of faith. Just as God also promised to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to Peter. Because even though as a man he was discouraged, as every one of us could be, an instance was one day perhaps Peter having passed through the old road and getting to the Sea of Galilee, meeting his old friends and previous colleagues, fishing. They were now doing exploits. Maybe he was the one who taught them their skills. Maybe he's the one who gave them the techniques in fishing. And now they were grown. They had used the same skill and techniques to acquire more boats. And they were doing exploits and prospering in the fishing business. And they even called on him and said, oh, Simon, I heard you following one Jesus. Well, since you left, the business has prospered. You can see for yourself, we have acquired more boats. We are having more catch compared to when you were here. Yahweh be praised. And what about you? Peter looked left and right. There was nothing really to boast of, save Jesus. And then, because he was still in the preparation process, and then that moment he was discouraged, went back to the service, to the fellowship, and when he sat perhaps behind rather than in front as usual, and he was just there, moody. And while Jesus was preaching, he waited for the time to ask questions. And he raised his hands. Master, what will happen to all of us that have forsaken everything and have followed you? What is our reward? And Jesus gave him what he needed, the comfort he needed, the hope. Reminded him of the hope of our salvation. That listen, in this earth, any man who have left home will receive more homes. If he had left sisters, literal sisters, physical, biological sisters, he will receive sisters in Christ. If he had left biological mothers, biological brothers, he will receive mothers, brothers in Christ. Hundredfold. If he left a bed that he was sleeping in, he will have a lot to sleep in as well, sleep on. And he will have persecution, which you, Peter, you're facing right now, which you never had before. And most especially, in the world to come, the greatest of all is that he will have eternal life. These words became a succor to Peter. And he went home rejoicing with that confidence, with that hope, with continuing in serving and being committed and loving the Lord. And besides this, Peter was so committed that even when Jesus Christ was arrested and taken to the council, everyone fled. But this man followed from afar. He tried to find his way in. He was willing to give his life for Jesus. But that shouldn't be. It should be the other way around. Christ is the one that gives his life for us. Yes, we know that as a man, he had his faults. Peter was kind of spontaneous person. And so, you know, maybe, will I say, impulsive. His reaction was always swift. And he was so vulnerable around Jesus. He didn't care if he was wrong. All he wished for was that every breath in him would please the master. In some cases, he was reprimanded and he didn't seem to take offense. He welcomed correction. Yes. And here I would like to ask us, how do we handle correction? When we are being corrected, reprimanded by God through his word, through his ministers, through our pastor, through our elders, how do we react? Is that an excuse? Is that a means to leave the place of fellowship, to leave the faith, to see faults? Yes, Jesus was perfect, but every of his actions were not logically, by man's view, were not logically, you know, accepted. The Pharisees always found faults in him. It took those who would have the Spirit of God to be able to see through. And not that this man understood everything. Peter didn't understand everything. He only trusted in Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, to whom do we have to go except to you that have the word of eternal life? Not because he understood that the blood in that case was talking about the word of God and the Spirit of God. No, he didn't understand. He only trusted. Most of us, we wait to understand everything before we can believe. Before we can take the move for God, we want to understand how the A of the word connects to the Z, how one scripture is connected to the other before we can believe and go forth. But if we wait that long before we take the move of God's commandment, then we have waited too long. Maybe we have started too late. Brother Bram will always say, only believe. Amen. So this was the actions of Peter. He believed. And he didn't care about how much he was corrected. He just believed. How do we handle correction? We see in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32, the wisdom of the preacher Solomon. He said, he that refuses instruction, he despises his own soul. But he that heareth correction or reproof gets understanding. Perhaps this was the secret to Peter's understanding. He was ready to be corrected. Imagine Jesus looking right into the eyes of Peter before all other disciples and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me and you do not savour the things of the Spirit. Yet, the next minute, Peter still went further to say, I will go wherever you go, and I will lay down my life for you. Wow. What could have prompted such desire, such love, such devotion? So the more encounters Peter gets, the more revelation he receives, the more committed he was, the more love he showed. So the same thing, if I will bring it to our day today, God has sent a prophet messenger to us in this age with so much gift, with so much revelation and mystery to his ministry. And we as recipients of this ministry, we are not given this gift so that we can be different and be proud and to show off that, oh, we receive something, we know something. No, rather, This should enhance our dedication, our commitment and love towards the Lord. Because the more privileged we are, the more responsibility, the more sense of responsibility we receive, the higher our responsibility. God has sent his message to turn our heart, not our head. So we must, this word that has come to us should enhance, should foster the love of God in our hearts. So I will read Ephesians chapter 3 as a weakness in verse 15. He said, from verse 14 rather, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of the earth, of in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God." The purpose of our knowing, of our knowledge, is so that we might also know the love of God and have the fullness of God, be filled with the fullness of God in our lives. The Lord bless you richly. In Jesus' name, amen.